All right, and we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Nun, but we're going to start on the bottom of Mem Tes on the base. So four lines up from the bottom, five lines up from the bottom, Mem Tes on the base. Begizei tzemer ve'im metaltzlin. So the Mishnah said that you're permitted to go ahead and insulate the pot with gizei tzemer. You're permitted to go ahead and insulate with wool shearings. Ve'im metaltzlin. But one may not go ahead and move those wool shearings, ultimately because they are muktzah. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, lo shnor elo shlo taman bahen. So Rava says, when do we say that wool shearings are muktzah? That's only if you were not matmin, if you did not insulate the pot with the wool shearings. But bepashtos aval taman bahen metaltlin osan. But if you went ahead and you insulated the pot with the wool shearings, then that shows that you are designating the wool shearings for this purpose, and therefore they are not muktzah. So the Gemara says the following, Eisvei. So now the Gemara brings up a shayla. The Gemara says, Eisvei. Hahu mira bonan bar yome l'rava. So the Gemara, actually a very interesting idea. It says, Eisvei hahu mira bonan bar yome l'rava. There was a guy who was on his first day in yeshiva, posed the question to Rava. Now, the truth is, general rule is, in your first day in yeshiva, keep your mouth closed, right? So this is not a bad idea in the second day, and then the third day, and the fifth day, until like it. But now, by the way, when it says bar yom, it doesn't literally mean it's his first day in yeshiva. Good morning. What it means just is, he was one of the new students. So the Gemara is just pointing out, it's surprising, a freshman, right? One of the new students went ahead and posed the question to Rava. What was the question? Oh, it was a good question. So he says, Begizei tzemer ve'im metaltlin osan. Excuse me. By the tomnin begizei tzemer ve'im metaltlin osan. So the student asked from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that you are permitted to go ahead and insulate with wool shearings, but you may not go ahead and carry them. They're muktzah. So the student said, Ketzaruo, so the Mishnah said, what should you do? So how do you do it? Top of nun. No telasakisui. You remove the pot of the cover of the pot. Vehi noflos. And the gizei tzemer, the wool shearings, fall off by themselves. So the point that the student was making is that clearly, halacha l'maisa, what is the Mishnah saying? That even if you go ahead and you use the wool shearings for insulation purposes, the wool shearings are still what? The wool shearings are muktzah. So this seems to contradict what Rava just said before, because Rava was just saying before, the only time they're muktzah is if you didn't set it aside to use them for insulation. But once he set it aside to use it for insulation, it's no longer muktzah. But the student on the first day in yeshiva said, but the Mishnah clearly, thank you, the Mishnah clearly contradicts that particular assertion, which the Gemara says, Ella I itmar hochi itmar. Rather, the Gemara says, if you're going to say something, here's what you should say. Omer Rava, lo shanu ella shelo yachdan lahatmana. No. What was Rava saying? When are the items muktzah? If you did not set them aside for hatmana purposes, for insulation purposes. And Rashi points out, Yachtan hatmana li'olam. When are the gizei tzemer mukta? Even if you're going to use them here or there, if you have not set them aside to be used for hatmana purposes, I will say again, that doesn't preclude the fact that you could use them for other purposes over the course of the week. But the idea is that halacha l'maisa, you set them aside for use on Shabbos. So lo shana shli yachtan hatmana. So therefore, Rava redefines his shita. When do we say that the gizei tzemer are mukta? That's only if you did not set them aside for hatmana. But once you set it aside for hatmana, then you would be permitted to go ahead and use it on Shabbos, or move it on Shabbos, I should say. So the Gemara says, Itmar nami. He also Rav in Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Asi ben Shol, Amar Rebbe. Lo shanu elo shlo yichtan lahatmana. So the Gemara just quotes another memra that again, this indeed is the distinction. That when the Mishnah says that you can't go ahead and move the gizei tzemer directly, that's talking about a case where the gizei tzemer were not set aside for insulation purposes. But if the gizei tzemer were in fact set aside for hatmana purposes, then halacha lemaisa, one would be permitted to move them on Shabbos. Ravina says the following: b'shel heftik shanu. Ravina says, what type of gizei tzemer are we referring to? Gizei tzemer of heftik. Look at Rashi. Heftik, ma'arocha gidola she'orchin u'moshivin la'ktsosan l'schora. This is actually very interesting. So now, what Ravina is trying to refer to over here is that what type of gizei tzemer are muktzah? Gizei tzemer that are normally kept in a warehouse. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Heftik. Ma'arocha gidola, a large arrangement. She'orchin u'moshivin la'ktsosan l'schora. So when we say that wool shearings are muktzah, what type of wool shearings are muktzah? the type of wool shearings that are kept in the warehouse. Warehouse wool shearings. Why? Because if they're kept in the warehouse, that's indicative of what? That's indicative of the fact that they're for schora, that they're for business purposes. Once they're for business purposes, it's clear that a person is not being miyachay them, is not setting them aside for atmana purposes, and therefore they're mukta. So Rabino Omer b'shal heftik shanu. Tani nami hachi, we have a brisa that supports this. Gizei tzemer shal heftik, ein metaltelin olsan. The brisa also says that if you have wool shearings from the warehouse, you are not permitted to go ahead and move them, because by definition they are mukta. However, ein metaltelin olsan. V'miskinon balabayis lishtamish pohen metaltelin olsan. But if the balabayis arrange them for use, then halokha lemaisi, you're permitted to go ahead and move them. Fine.
What does it mean by we're gonna get to it.
So now the Gemara says like this, which is, well, you have to learn our Dafyomi rules. These are different rules than the 820 rules. So now the Gemara says like this, V'miskinan balabayis lishtamish bohen metaltelin osam. So however, if the balabayis arranged that the Gizei Tzemer will be used. Now, what does it mean, arranged? What it means is if the Balabayis set them aside, that they're going to be used for Atmana purposes, then Halocha Lamais and the Taltanos, and they are no longer Muktzah. I will say, what we're going to get now into the Sugya is, how much of an active preparation do you need to set aside an item to be used on Shabbos? Meaning, how much active preparation do you need to remove the Muktzah status from a particular item? So, Tana, Rabba Barbara Hanukkah Dirav. So Rabbi Rachana taught the following concept of Mara. Listen to this case. Chorios shel dekel, shel gardon leit. So I will say chorios shel dekel. If you look at Rashi, Rashi is chorios shel dekel, anothim kashim ke'et. These are branches of a date palm that have hardened like a tree. Mishohokshu shadra'o shalulabin, v'naflu alehen shalohen, karlen chorios. So if you want to know what a chorios is, it's when the soft leaves of a lulav fall off, that spine that you have left, that hardened spine, is called chorios shel dekel. So if a person went ahead and had gathered chorios shel dekel, these hardened branches of date palms, shegadra le'itzim. Now the reason you gather them is because you're going to use it as firewood. You're going to use it as firewood. Rabosa, by definition, if it's set aside as firewood, that automatically means, that usually means that it's mukta. That it's mukta. V'nimlach alehen liyeshiva. And then afterwards, you decided to go ahead. No, you want to use it as a bench. So now, boss, I have an item that is inherently mukta, right? By itself, it's mukta. But now I want to use it for a permitted purpose on Shabbos. I want to use it for yeshiva, for sitting. So the Gemara says, now, what do you have to do in order to transform the item? Tzarech lekasher. So you have to go ahead and tie the branches together. Look at Rashi. Tzarech lekasher. The kashram yachad miba'od yom. In order to go ahead and remove the mukta status from these items, you must tie the branches together on Erev Shabbos. Lo chiyach shel yeshiva omdin. Because apparently, if you were going to go ahead and use chorio shel dekel as a bench, you would tie them together as a bench. Sheyeshiva omdin lo kashram yachad. But if you did not tie the branches together, aser l'taltalon l'machar d'lo havi yichud b'machshava. So here's what's interesting. So the Gemara says like this. So halacha lemaisa, if you just went ahead, so now Erev Shabbos, if you want to go ahead and show that you're going to use these items for yeshiva, you must tie them together. You must do something active that shows that you are going to use this item as a permitted way. But if you did not do that, then even if what? Even if you had in mind on Erev Shabbos that you're going to use it for yeshiva, that's not enough. And if you did not tie them together, it would be mukta for you on Shabbos. That's the first shita. Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. Ein tzarech lekasher. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you need not tie them together. Look at well, the Gemara doesn't say anything. Fine. So Rav Shimon Gamliel would seem to say that as long we'll see what Rav Shimon Gamliel's shita is, but he doesn't require you to tie them together. Hu tani la v'hu amar la. So remember, Rabbi Abrahana said over this teaching, and therefore he paskin halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, that in order to go ahead and, let's say, designate the branches of the date palm as a bench, you need not tie them together. Now, the pashas, what we're going to see is Rav Shimon Gamliel still holds that you must engage in some level of preparation prior to Shabbos. What level of preparation, we'll see as we go on. Itmar, Rav Amar Kosher, Ushmuel Amar Choshev. So the Gemara says, Machlokis, Machlusin Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, in order to go ahead and render the Chorios Shel Dekel fit for use on Shabbos, you actually have to tie them together. And Shmuel says, Choshev. Then I will say, what does Choshev mean? Choshev literally means you have in mind. You have kavana that you're going to. Now, when do you have kavana? Even Shmuel would agree, you have to have kavana on Erev Shabbos, right? You have to have kavana on Erev Shabbos that you're going to use it. But the machshava is enough, even if you don't do any kind of maisa. V'rav Asi Amar Yoshev Af Al Pi Shelo Kisher V'Af Al Pi Shelo Chishev. So Rav Asi has an interesting shita. Rav Asi says that you have to sit. You actually have to sit on the branches on Erev Shabbos. Rashi says Aleimi Ba'Od Yom. Af Al Pi Shelo Chishev. Rashi says Aleihen Leishev LaMachar Goli Daite Deli Yeshiva Kaimi. So Rav Asi has an interesting shita. So Rav Asi, here's you have the three shitas. Rav says you have to tie them together. Shmuel says you don't have to tie them together, but you have to have explicit kavana that you're going to use it for yeshiva on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos, and but you have to have that kavana on Erev Shabbos. And Rav Asi holds, no, you don't have to have it. You need what we'll call behavioral kavana. You have to sit on those branches on Erev Shabbos. But the interesting part is, when you sit on those branches on Erev Shabbos, you don't have to have any kavana for Shabbos. The act of sitting on it on Erev Shabbos is indicative of the fact that what? That clearly these are omit for yeshiva. So the Gemara says, Bishlama Rav Huda Amar Kitanakamo. So the Gemara says, I understand why Rav holds like the Tanakamo. So the Gemara says, Bishlama Rav Huda Amar Kitanakamo. So Rav holds like the Tanakamo, like we mentioned earlier. Ushmuel Nami Huda Amar Kerbishimin Amino. And Shmuel is of the, or Shmuel paskins like Rav Shimon Gamliel, because remember, according to Shmuel, all you need is Choshev. You just have to have in mind that you're going to use these items. You have to have in mind on Erev Shabbos that you're going to use it on Shabbos. El Rav Asi, the Amar Kiman. So the Gemara says, who does Rav Asi hold like? So the Gemara says, who the Amar Ki Haitana? Rav Asi holds like the following Tana. Desanya, Yotzin Bipokrin Ubitzifa, Bizman Shetzivan Bishemen, Vikarchan Bimeshicha. So what's the Gemara says like this? Literally translated, you could go out. Pokrin and Sifa are different types of, well, look at Rashi. Pokrin and Sifa, Pokrin, Pishdan, Sorok, combed flax, Shinosan alamaka. So it's combed flax that was often put on a wound. Or Tsifa is Tsemer Menufats, combed wool, Hanitan alamaka. Essentially, these are both types of bandages. So the Gemara says like this. You can go out on Shabbos, with a bandage that was soaked in oil and that is tied onto your arm. Now, what's the issue over here? On Shabbos, you're not permitted to engage in forms of refuah. One is not permitted to engage in forms of medicinal healing, which we'll get into in the Gemara later on. Okay. So, but the idea is, this type of bandage is not considered to be a type of refuah. Rather, what is it? The goal of this bandage is if you have a wound on your arm, it's to protect your clothing from rubbing against the bandage. It's to be a barrier. So the Gemara feels like this. The Gemara feels that as long as the bandage is dipped in oil, now the chap of being dipped in oil makes the material of the bandage itself soft. If it's tied on, it means that you're not going to come to carry it if you're outside Rosh Sarabim on Shabbos. So if you have all of this, you could wear it out on Shabbos. You could wear this bandage on Shabbos. So, however, lo tzavan b'shemen, but if you did not dip it in oil, velo karchan b'mishich, or you didn't tie it on with a string, any yotzin bahen, you may not take them out on Shabbos. So Rabbi say, the idea of not tying it on with the string is intuitive. If it's not tied on with the string, there's a real feel of hotzah. What about if you didn't dip it in oil? The problem is, if you didn't dip it in oil, what exactly are you doing with it? Because halacha lemaisa, if you didn't dip it in oil, then we don't have to, then the whole point of this bandage is that it should serve as a shield against your clothing, rubbing against the wound. But if the bandage itself is there without oil, then the bandage itself is rubbing against the wound. So what good is it doing? However, the Gemara says, V'im yotza bahen sha'achas mi ba'ol yom, but if you went out with this type of bandage, right, tied on but not dipped in oil on Erev Shabbos, af al pi shelo tzava, v'lo karcha v'meshicha, mutar latzeis bahen. So we'll say, what's the idea? If you did this before Shabbos, then that shows what? That shows that for you, this setup works. It protects the wound, and therefore you're permitted to go ahead and do it on Shabbos also. So Rabbi said, the Gemara is suggesting that this Tana, this is the Tana whom Rav Asi follows. Because Rav Asi follows this same logic. Essentially, Rav Asi says, we don't have to worry about Kavana. What do we worry about? We worry about, or we look at behavior. So according to Rav Asi, if you had this pile of dried out wood that came from the date palm, as long as you sat on it on Erev Shabbos, that's indicative of the fact that what? That you have set this aside for yeshiva. You've set this aside. Now, again, I want to be clear. It doesn't preclude the fact that sometime later on you may go ahead and burn this wood, use it as firewood. But what it means is you're activating its identity as a place to sit, and therefore, even if you did not have kavana that you're going to go out and do that on Shabbos, that's okay. Halacha lemaisa, you'd still be permitted to sit on it on Shabbos. So we'll say, so this is the three way machlokas. So again, you have Rav telling us that you have to go ahead and actually tie the branches together, and that's the only way that you can use it on Shabbos. Shmuel says you don't have to tie it together, but you do have to have explicit kavana on Erev Shabbos that you're going to use it on Shabbos. And Rav Asiyu holds that no, you need behavioral kavana. Sit on it on Erev Shabbos, and even if you're not even thinking about Shabbos, you can use it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Afana Nami Tanina. So Rav Ashi said, we also have this same idea. Or have I also seen the same idea in this braisa? Hakash shagabi amita. If you have straw that's on top of a bed, lo yina neo biyado. You may not go ahead and move the straw with your hand. With your hand. Now, Rabbi, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says afan anami tanina. So Rav Ashi says, I also have a braisa that seems to support Rav Ashi. So kash. Rashi says stome litina koi lelevenim ola hasaka umuktzahum. So the assumption is straw. Straw is normally set aside to go ahead and be used for building, or it's to be used for burning. And therefore, by definition, stam straw is usually muktzah. Vim haya nasan alamita v'lo lishkavalav u'ba shabbos lishkavalav v'hoz lichlena'aneu u'lishot cho lishchiva shlo yitzavar v'kasha. So I'll say, here's the interesting case. So I had stam straw, and the straw was on my bed. Now I want to go to sleep. But the problem is, I need to move the straw around, because obviously if the straw is clumped together, it's going to be hard and be uncomfortable to sleep on. So what could I do? Lo yina anei biyado. I may not go ahead and move the straw with my hand. Why? Why? Because it's muktzah. Ava mena anei bigufo. But what you can do is you can move the straw with your body. So you could push your body against the straw, move it with your feet. That's what we learned about that before. That's called tiltul min atzad. That's called indirect movement of muktzah, which under certain circumstances is permitted. However, aval, im haya alav ma'achol behema. However, if you had designated this straw as ma'achol behema, if you again had in mind that you were going to go ahead and use it for animal feed, o shahaya alav kar, o sudden miba odyom, or what did you do? You put your mattress on top of it, or your cushion on top of it. See, I will say, there was another use for straw, is that straw was often used, sounds strange to us, to soften a bed. So what the Gemara says over here is, if you went ahead and put, let's say, your mattress or your cushion on top of the straw on Erev Shabbos, so what have you done? You've engaged in a behavioral activity that shows that this straw is set aside for a different non-mukta purpose, i.e. my bed, then mina aneu biyado. Then I'd be permitted to move the straw with my hand directly, shmamino. Then aloch lamaisa, we see that's true. So Rabbi said, the braisa supports Rav Asi, and Rabbi said, this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well, like Rav Asi, that if you have an item that is normally considered mukta, but you did something behaviorally with it on Erev Shabbos that shows that it has a permitted use, you're permitted to use it on Shabbos, even if what? Even if you did not have explicit kavana that you're going to use it on Shabbos. Uman tana de palikali de Rav Shimon Gamliel. Who is one who argues on Rav Shimon Gamliel? Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. So we'll say, remember, we had Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's the one who said, Ein tzarech lekasher. Rav Shimon Gamliel was the one who held, like Shmuel, that halach lemais, as long as you have kavana, as long as you think about using the item, that's enough. So who is the Tana who argues on him? Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. Dechi asa Rav Dini Amar Ziiri Amar Rabbi Chanina. Pam achas halach Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva l'makum echad. One time Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva went to a particular place. U'matza chorios shel dekel shagardum l'shum etzin. So he went to a particular place and he found that there were these dried out branches of date palms that people had gathered for firewood. V'amar lahem l'talmidav, and he said to his students, Tzu'u v'chishvu k'dei sheneshev alehen l'mocher. Right? And he said to his students, go out, and have kavono that we're going to go ahead and sit on these tomorrow. Okay, we're going to sit on these tomorrow. So the Gemara says, v'lo yidana ibeis ha-mishtahava, ibeis ha-avel hava. And I don't remember what this particular story was about, whether they were going to use this space for a party or for a beis avel. I will say, when it says beis avel, what it means is obviously it's Shabbos, so, but it means a place for avelim to gather. So the Gemara says, mi d'ka'amar ibeis ha-mishtahava, ibeis ha-avel hava. So the fact that this story was qualified by saying that they were going to use this space for a Beis HaMishta or Beis HaOvel, Dafka Beis HaOvel or Beis HaMishta, the treaty. So when does this apply? Dafka in a Beis HaOvel or Beis HaMishta, the treaty. Look at Rashi. The treaty, V'lo yachlu likshar mi ba'od yom, v'hasam hu dishari b'lo kishor, aval ba'amalo. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. The fact that the story is qualified, that Rabbi Hanina ben Akiva says, listen, we're in a rush right now, we don't have time. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, just set aside that wood b'machshava. But the only reason I'm letting you do this now is why? Because the treaty. There's an extenuating circumstance. Because there's a big party, or there's a big Avilos gathering. We don't have time to do it, right? So at least do it with Machshava. So the fact that this was a dispensation from the norm, that because this was extenuating circumstances, he allowed them to set aside the wood by just simply thinking about it, indicates to us what? That under normal circumstances, Aval Hacha, kosher in, lo kosher lo. Indicates to us that under normal circumstances, Rabbi Hanina ben Akiva would say that in order to set aside the wood for use on Shabbos, you would actually have to what? You'd actually have to tie it together in bundles that would make it usable for sitting purposes. Therefore, we see, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Hanina ben Akiva is the one who argues Rav Shimon Gamliel. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Machnis Adam Malei Kupaso Ofer Va'osebo Kol Tzarko. Rabbi Yehuda said the following: a person could bring in literally a kupa, a basket filled with dirt, and could use it for any of his needs. So the Gemara says the following. Oseba kol tzarchan. Now, Bosai, the interesting part about this is that, remember, a kupa, dirt is muktzah. Dirt is muktzah. So a person could go ahead and bring in a kupa, a mali kupa afar, and do all of his needs with it. Darash marzucha mishmei de marzucha rabba. Suppose I look at Rashi for just a moment over here. So Rashi says, Machnis Mali Kupasa Afar, Lechasos Botsoa Verok. So why would a person be bringing in a basket full of dirt to go ahead and cover Tsoa means waste, Rok means saliva, Umaara Ha'afar Bebeso La'aret, Benot Lotamid Lechol Tzurachov. Fine. So a person could bring in a basket of dirt to his house, and he's going to set it aside for permitted use on Shabbos. Under normal circumstances, dirt is Muktzah. Dirt is mukta. So the Gemara says, however, Marzutra, send the name Marzutra Rabba, Vahush Yichid lo Keren Zovis. That's only true if what? If you dafka put the dirt in a particular corner. If you set aside a particular corner for the dirt. Rashi says, Vahush Yichid lo Keren Zovis, Davi Kamuchan Vahumuchan Vahomed Lakach. Because if you put it in a particular corner, that shows that the dirt is mukhan, the dirt is set aside. Aval nosno be'emtza beiso lemidras raglayim harihu bato legabi karkos habayis umuktzaser. If you just put it in the middle of the floor, then what? Then there's just going to be a pile of dirt in the middle of the floor. If it's a pile of dirt in the middle of the floor, then guess what? What do you call that? You call that the floor, right? Because remember, they're talking about dirt floors. So the point over here says the Gemara, unless of course you set aside this dirt in some type of recognizable, dramatic way, then, hinani muchanu mezuman, to go ahead and say, this is the dirt corner. Right? So if you set it aside as the dirt corner, then it's set aside. But if you plunk it down right in the middle of the floor, that's just called the floor. Omer Rabbanan kamei de Rapapa kiman, kerab shemeng amniel. So the Rabbanan said to the Rapapa, who is this like? This is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Iker Rabbanan, because of it, it was like the Rabbanan, Ha Amri Ba'ina Naisa. Because remember, the Rabbanan hold that what? They hold like Rav, that you have to go ahead and do a Naisa to an item. It's like they hold that you have to go ahead and tie up the pieces of wood in order to set it aside for sitting purposes. You'd have to do a Naisa with the dirt. Amri the Rapapa, or Rapapa says no. Afilu Timur Rabbanan. You could even say this reflects the view of the Rabbanan. Why? So the Gemara says, no, this is giving me the Rabbanon. When the Rabbanon hold that you need a Maisa, when the item itself is Maisa receptive. But if the item itself is not Maisa receptive, there's nothing to do. So what does that mean? When it comes, let's say, for example, with the branches, where there's a Maisa you could do with it, you could tie it together. Then Einachinami, the Rabbanon hold, in order to make it not Mukta for Shabbos, you have to do the Maisa prior to Shabbos. But if the object itself is not Maisa receptive, like what? Like dirt. What are you going to do? There's no Maisa you could do to dirt. Then even the Rabbanon would agree that just simply placing it in a particular corner is going to be enough. So the Gemara goes weiter. Neima ketanoi. Let's say that this is a machlokes tanoim. So the Brice says the following. Bakol chofen esakelim. You can go ahead and scrub silver utensils, right? You could scrub utensils on Shabbos, right? Bakol, Rashi says over here, Chavin Mishashavin. First of all, take a look at the previous Rashi. Lema Ketanoi, Hadra Yehuda Bemidi Delav Bar Maisa. So I will say the Gemara wants to suggest that this idea that an object that is not Maisa receptive doesn't need a Maisa in order to ready it for non-Muktzu use on Shabbos. This is an Achlogis Tanoim. So Chavin Rashi says, Mishashavin Esakila Bishabbos Litzachzachon. You can go ahead and rub a utensil on Shabbos in order to smooth it out. So you could rub a utensil on Shabbos, chutz mikli keset begartikon, with the exception of you can't rub a silver utensil with gartikon. What's gartikon? This is actually interesting. Rashi says, kli keset begartikon, kamin afar shagadol bechavis shalyayin, shekorin lo alum, buhu ikar tikun kli keset, the gorer osa shakesef rach v'humemachek shu'av malacha. So what's a gartikon seems to be, it's the sediment of a wine barrel. The sediment of a wine barrel, the stuff that collects, and not the sediment on the side, but the stuff that collects on the sides of the barrel itself. So apparently this item was often used to smooth out silver. So the Gemara says you can't do that, because that already is called tikkun mara, that's makir b'patish, because that literally smooths out the silver. So the Gemara says,
makir b'patish, the whole issue with tying together the
That's not makir, that's not, no, because there's no finishing there. What are you finishing? And remember, you're tying it together on Erev Shabbos, not tying anything on Shabbos.
That's why... But isn't that the whole issue? You couldn't tie it together on Shabbos and turn your pile of wood.
No, that wouldn't be makir b'patish. Makir b'patish means that, because it means finishing a kli. You're not finishing anything. The fact that you're tying it together is a maisa, but it's not makir b'patish. Makir b'patish means the final hammer blow on a particular item. So the Gemara says, ha neser v'chol mutter. So what's interesting is the following. Apparently, the gartikon you can't use, but neser and chol. So neser is another type of item. Literally in English, it's niter, N-I-T-E-R. Chol is sand. But with neser and chol, you could do it. So the Gemara says, one second, v'hotanya, neser v'chol oser. But we learned elsewhere that you can't use neser and chol with a silver object. My love b'hokam efligi, is this not the machlokes? The mar sovar, bo'inon maisa. Umar sovar, lo bo'inon maisa. So the Gemara says, maybe the machlokis in terms of whether or not you could use neter and chol is what? Is, do you need a maisa to set something aside for use on Shabbos? So the braisa that says that you can use neter and chol says that you don't need a maisa. All you need to do is what? Just actively set it aside, just like you just put the dirt in the corner. And the braisa that says that you can't go ahead and use neter and chol would hold that you do need a maisa in order to go ahead and use them on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, lo. The chuli alma lo ba'inon maisa. Everyone agrees, Rabbi Osai, that halacha l'maisa, if you have a object that is not maisa receptive, Rashi says, b'midi delav bar maisa, which means that if you have an object that by itself, you're not going to change the form of it, there's no maisa you could do to it, that it doesn't require a maisa in order to go ahead and make it usable on Shabbos. As what's happening over here, v'lo kashya, harab Yehuda harab Shimon. Harab Yehuda d'amar davar she'in miskavein aser, Harabi Shimon the Amar Davreshin Miskavin Mutter. The machlokis over here is in the realm of Davreshin Miskavin. Look at Rashi. Lo duchuli alma b'midi d'lav bar ma'isa lo ba'inon ma'isa. So if you have an object that is not ma'isa receptive, like dirt or like in this case neser and chol, you don't need a ma'isa in order to make it usable on Shabbos. V'taima man da'aser d'zimnin d'gorir af al vi'af al gav d'lo mechavin ligror osik Rabbi Yehuda. Listen to this. So the Gemara wants to suggest the following. So how do we bless you? How do we reconcile the steer and the brisos? The brisa that holds that you can't even use neser and chol on a silver vessel holds that although these items don't regularly smooth out the silver, sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. And therefore, again, that brisa would reflect the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds davar sheino miskavin, that when you do malacha, even though it's not intended, it's still aser. Whereas the brisa that holds that you can use neser and chol, even though sometimes they may end up smoothing out the silver, reflects the view of who? Reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon, who holds davar sheino miskavin is mutter. However, everyone agrees with gartikon. Am I pronouncing that right? Is that the right word? Yeah, Gartzikon, right? Everyone agrees with Gartzikon that you can't use it. Why? Because Rashi points out that's a psik reisha. Because Gartzikon definitely smooths out the silver. We'll discuss psik reisha later. Definitely smooths out the silver, and therefore you may not use it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following. So b'mayu kim t'lahat shayr upshin. So now you want to tell me that the brisa that permits the use of nitr and chol reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a darash in a miskavin is mutter. Ema sefer, what about the end of that brisa? But the Braisa says, you should not wash your hair, or right, you should not clean your hair with these items. Why with nitr and chol? Because what may it do? It may go ahead and pull out hairs. So the Gemara says, the ear of Shimon, Mishra Kashari. But if it's Rav Shimon, that should be permitted. Why? This matter, Rav Shimon holds, Nazir Chofef Umefasfes. A Nazir is permitted to go ahead and wash his hair. Umefasfes, he could comb his hair. Avalo Sorek. But he should not use it, he should not use a fine comb. Right? He should not use a fine comb. Now, what's the chab over here? Now, you would have thought maybe that a Nazir shouldn't be able to wash his hair, or a Nazir shouldn't be able to even Mefasfes, right, to go ahead and even comb it out lightly. Why? Because he may pull out a hair. And a Nazir is not permitted to go ahead and do that. So the Gemara says, however he can. Halacha l'maaseh he can. Why? Why? Because his darshan is miskaving. So the Gemara says the following. Ha, so I'm sorry. So the Gemara says like this. So Rabbi said the kasha is like this. The seifa of that brisa says that you should not wash your hair with the nitar and with the chol. The assumption is because you may go ahead and pull out a hair, and schitas sear is also taking out a hair on Shabbos is aser, either because of schita or really it's really because of gozei, it's really because of shearing. So the Gemara says if the brisa is really reflective of Rabbi Shimon should allow that, because even Rabbi Shimon allows that halacha lemaisa, even a nazir who is not permitted to pull out his hair is permitted to go ahead and comb his hair with a light comb. Ela hava ha Rabbi Yehudahi. Rabbi Gemara says in reality, both brisos reflect the view of Rabbi Yehuda that a davar shenu miskaven is aser. Utrei tanoi aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And in reality, there are two tanoim. There are two different opinions according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hai tana aliba de Rabbi Yehuda savar gorir, vahai tana aliba de Rabbi Yehuda savar lo gorir. So I'll say, interestingly enough, the machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda is a machlokes in Metzius. Does nitter and chol, or do nitter and chol, smooth a utensil or not? One Tana, one of the versions of Rabbi Yehuda, one of the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda says, yes. And therefore, because it's smooth, therefore the Braisa rules, you may not use it on a silver utensil, because even though it's a Davashin and Miskabin, it's still going to be Aser. Whereas the other opinion holds that what? That no, Nitter and Chol don't smooth out the utensil at all, and therefore they should be totally permitted. So the Gemara says, B'mayu kim t'krav Yehuda, as now that you've established the Braisa like Rabbi Yehuda, Ema Seifa, what do you do about the end of the Braisa? Ava panav yadav uraglov mutter. But the Braisa says, you are permitted to go ahead and wash your face, your hands and your feet with the nitr or the chol. Ha ma'aver seyar. But how can you do that? You may come to go ahead and what? Remove hair. Right? And removing hair, even though it's a darshan and a miskavein, remember, what does Rabbi Yehuda buy? What does Rabbi Yehuda buy a darshan and a miskavein? That is the lasser. So he says, it's not a kasha. E bais ema katan, e bais ema isha, v bais ema besaris. So maybe the Bryce, so Gemara says, if you want to say, you can say the Bryce is only referring to a katan, that a child who doesn't have facial hair would be permitted to go ahead and use these items. Or the other possibility is it's talking about a woman who doesn't have facial hair, or it's talking about a soris. Remember, what is a soris? A soris is a person who does not physically mature. Also, the common denominator is three people who don't have facial hair. That's the idea. And therefore, that's the case the Bryce is permitted, allowing you to wash your face with this item, because there's no fear that you may come to extract facial hair. Amar Rav Yehuda, Afar Levinta. Afar Levinta means, literally, the dust of a brick. So I'll say, apparently, one of the other agents that they used to use as a cleaning agent was crumbled brick. Crumbled brick. I guess you'd mix it with water. You mix it with water. All right? And they would use it. So Afar Levinta Shari. So you can go ahead and use Afar Levinta to go ahead and wash your face. And Rashi points out, even someone who has a beard. Even someone who has a beard can use this to wash their face. Amar Rav Yosef. So apparently it was not abrasive enough to cause any kind of hair to come out. Amar Rav Yosef. Kuspa diyasmin shari. Rav Yosef says, what else can you use to wash your face on Shabbos? Kuspa diyasmin. Psola shumshimin. Right? Leftover, the leftover, not leftover. After you crush sesame seeds for oil, we saw that sesame oil, the leftover pulp of the sesame seeds, you could use also to wash your face. Amarava, afar pilpuli, you could use pepper dust, right? Ground up pepper. These are all, again, it's interesting, just, I guess, home soaps that people made. Rose said, the point of it, the common denominator, all of these things, that these are all very mild cleaning agents, right? They're not abrasive, and therefore there's no fear that they may come to pull off hair. Amar Rav Sheish says, barda shari. Rav Sheish says, you can add barda to the list. My barda. So what is barda? This actually sounds nice. Amar Rav Yosef, tilsa ala, one-third aloe, tilsa asa, one-third myrtle, vitilsa sigli, and one-third violets. All right, sounds good. So, all right, what did you say?
Trader Joe.
So, Amram Nechemya Bar Yosef, kol hecha deleka ruba ala shapir dami. So, Rabbi Yosef says, the truth is, you can use any proportion of these items you want, as long as you don't have a majority of aloe. Apparently, in terms of the aloe, because the aloe softens the skin a lot, using aloe will almost definitely go ahead and result in the pulling out of hair. So, as long as the majority of the mixture is not aloe, you're okay. Bo'o minei merav sheshes. Mahu liftsoa zeisim v'shabes. So we'll say nothing, it goes in a different direction. Sheshes says, literally, can you bruise olives on Shabbos? Now, this is not a misplaced aggression over here. What does it mean, bruise olives? So what they would do is, apparently, sometimes to sweeten olives, they would actually hit the olive against the rock. So apparently, unlocking the juices of the olives took away a little bit from the somewhat bitter taste. I guess unlocking the juices gave it a sweetness. So can you bruise olives on Shabbos? Can you bruise olives on Shabbos? Look at that. All right, so fine. So the Gemara says the following. Amar lehu, v'chi b'chol miyatiru. So I'll say, this is actually interesting. So Rav Nechemya, Rav Sheshes responded, well, is that permitted even during the week? Why would it not be permitted? Kasavar mishum hafsid ochlin. So Rav Sheshes thought, you can't even do this during the week. Why? Because you're ruining food. Right? The act of bruising an olive, Rav Sheshes felt, was an act of ruining food, and therefore it shouldn't be permitted to go out and do it on Shabbos either. Excuse me, shouldn't even be permitted during the week. Forget about on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Lema pligi de Shmuel. So say that Rav Sheshes argues on Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel, Osa adam kol tzachar bepas. Shmuel says you could do whatever you want with bread. Right? Meaning Rav Shmuel, we saw this in Brachas. Shmuel said you could do whatever you want with bread, even to use it for a non-eating purpose. So Amri Pas Lo Miasa. So for example, if you want to go ahead and you want to use bread as your coaster, right? You want to use bread for something else, you could do that. So the Gemara says, Amri Pas Lo Miiso. That's because bread doesn't get ruined. Honey Miisi. What Rav Sheshes was worried was that when you try to go ahead and bruise the olive, what could end up happening? You could end up really ruining it to the point that what? You're no longer going to want to eat it. So Amimar Marzutra of Ravashi Hava Yosvi. Amimar Marzutra of Ravashi were sitting, Asula Kamaihu Barda. They brought before them some Barda. Remember, Barda is that one-third aloe, one-third myrtle, one-third violet mixture that's used for washing. Amimar of Ravashi Mashu. Amimar Ravashi washed themselves. Amir Ravashi washed themselves. Marzutra lo masha. Marzutra did not wash himself. Amrulay, they said to Marzutra, lo savar lamar, lahada amr of Sheshes bar de shari. So Marzutra, what's the problem? Right? You don't hold of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes hold that you can wash it bar da. So listen to this. Amr lehu Rav Mordechai bar mine demar, da avilu bechol nami lo. So interestingly enough, so he said to them, so Mordechai said, don't worry, Marzutra never washes with Barda. Even it's not a Shabbos issue. This is a Barda issue. Rav Zutra never uses Barda. Why? So the Gemara says, Savarla kiatanya, kihadisanya. Because Rav Zutra held to the following. He held to the following braisa. Megarer adam gal de tsoa vegal de maka shabbosaro bishvil tsaro. A person is permitted literally to remove dirt. Galdi can mean scabs.